This is an excerpt of the last couple pages of the Pyrosian Chronicles and its epilogue.
All that was over now. The path Terran had walked since before he was born was behind him, and now there was nothing but his choices, his decisions. Finally, he was free. It was the first day of the rest of his life. It certainly wouldn't be boring. He was sure that he would be calling on him from time to time to help Mother Wind, Sashi, and C.H. Bell, so there would always be the potential to use all his gifts and his training and his power constructively, for something that mattered. And between those adventures, he would have all the time in the world to be happy. He had children to raise, family to watch over, and friends to keep in touch with. His life was rich in family and friends and the love they shared. And more than power, more than gold, more than anything else, that was the one thing that mattered most in the universe. Terran knew, he'd seen it for himself. For the first time in his life, he felt ready. He was ready to take that first step down this unfamiliar path, a path whose ending was Terran's own choice and decision. He was ready to be his own man, ready to make his way without help or the confining limits of a path chosen for him. As the rest of the family rushed into the house to unpack that which had been stored away and brought from the tower, Terran instead decided to sit on the rocker on the porch before going in. There would be time for that other stuff later, and besides, he really liked his rocking chair. He sat there and watched the sun rise, just reveling in the last quiet moment he'd have for a while. He could hear them in there, as Miss told them where to drop things and told the visitors which rooms they could have upstairs while the cubs and Zairi darted this way and that. As Tara and Rina showed Zairi all around, and Kimmy and Triana barked at them. He could hear Janine boasting that Doris had taught her how to cook, and she'd handle lunch, heard Falcon playing with Cor already. He heard voices of loved ones, he heard idle chatter, he heard laughter, he heard his life. It was just inside that door, and there was nothing sweeter in the whole world. Jal came out and climbed into his lap. He sat with the boy for a long moment in comfortable silence, then Terran patted him on the chest.
"There it is, Jal,"
he said quietly.
"The sun rising on the first day of the rest of your life, and I promise I'll do everything I can to make it a happy one."
Jal twisted around and looked up at him and smiled. He reached up and touched Terran's face, then opened his mouth.
"I love you, father."
Terran gave a start, then laughed and hugged the human he had taken as his own.
"I love you too, Jal. Welcome home."
Epilogue. The plane of Nirvana was the plane of absolute order. Infinite in size, endless in scope, it was the plane where order ruled everything. In this place, there were exact equal portions of light and dark. There were exact equal portions of land and air, and there were exact portions of water and land. All land and water were concentrated into vast disks with toothed edges which locked together and slowly turned, turning the grand clock which ruled the entire multiverse, the ultimate time. Some of those disks were small, the size of a noble's estate, but some were so huge that it would take a man on foot years to traverse from one side to the other. This was the home plane of the Modrons, the beings of ultimate order, whose leader Primus guided the working of the plane with the light surrounding his right hand and the darkness surrounding his left. Nirvana was the home of many gods, archons, upper-dimensional beings, and even some mortals. But on one disk, far from the disk of the Modrons, was the largest disk of its kind in its part of Nirvana, the home realm of Niami, the prime elder goddess of magic, one of the 10 elder gods of Senadar. Formidable was her power, vast and terrible. A power so great that no other beings lived on any disk around her for fear of that power. Nirvana was the realm of ultimate order, but where there was peace, also was there violence, in equal measures. All feared the power of Niami and would not settle near her, for fear that her wrath might find them. It was a misgiven reputation to be sure, for Niami was actually a quite agreeable goddess. Her realm, populated by the souls of the mortals who followed her in life, her cats Dashi, was a very peaceful, orderly place filled with gentle love and quiet peace, the reward for her children who had given so much to her in life, that she returned that devotion and gave so much to them when they were brought to her by Dakiai. She was there, as she always was. Like all prime gods, she was restricted to her home realm by the Overgod. But in her realm her power was absolute. Her vast disk, larger than worlds, was her personal vision, her perfect creation of wondrous seas, towering mountains, vast plains, steaming jungles, arctic ice, endless forests, every environment that appeared on her world of Senadar, and all created just for the souls of her children, a wonderland of harmony and happiness that was theirs to enjoy for all eternity. In the center of that vast disk was a golden tower that reached long spans into the sky, the Tower of Niami, the throne from which she ruled. This was just another day in the endless marching of time on Nirvana, but for Niami, this was a special day, a wonderful day. It was the day Taryn Kale stepped from the protection of her shadow and made his own way in the world. But that wasn't what made this day so special, so wonderful. Within her golden tower, sitting upon her throne of rosewood and pearl, Naomi sat. She looked as she appeared to the mortals, a tall, beautiful woman with perfect skin and hair striped in the seven colors of the rainbow, wearing a shimmering gown of solid starlight. But here, a slender tiara with a sherum of silver graced her brow, the crown of her station. She sat there, quiet and contemplating as vast aspects of her divine mind listened to the voices of her children and watched over her realm in Nirvana. But the only thing she was truly paying attention to was the figure striding down the hall in long, confident steps. Her royal guards and retainers bowed and stepped aside as the figure approached, entering her grand hall, and she stood up. The figure strode confidently up to her, then stopped at the edge of her dais and bowed. She could only smile and offer her hand.
"Welcome home,"
she said lovingly. Her slender hand reached forward and was swallowed up by a black furred paw. The end. And so, my children, the story of Taryn Kale and the Firestaff has come to an end. But the universe is vast, filled with many who are awaiting their own turn for magic, excitement, and adventure. And as in all things, one ending is not but the beginning of another story, and there will be other stories to tell.